I've entitled my message for today as "Do not," as "Fear not." Has anyone ever been afraid? Have you ever been afraid? Man, never been afraid? He's tough. He went right up there on the ladder. And I looked and I thought, he's not afraid. Well, at least I hope he wasn't afraid. People were holding the ladder at the bottom, you know, but I guess if it moved a little bit, there was a little bit of, okay, knee tightening, and okay, I'm not afraid, I'm a man. But every one of us at some stage has been afraid, haven't we? Yeah. Fear has struck us. Well, I want to encourage us that we don't. There are people who run around in fear. They live their life in fear. Now you might say, well, that's not me. Well, praise God, it's not you. I remember once being in a bank in town, and I was handing in some checks or something, and a girl behind the counter, she was probably Alicia's age, behind the bank counter, and in front of me was a friend of hers, and they were talking through the counter. And the girl that's Alicia's age said, oh, I've been to the doctors, I'm on tablets to calm my nerves and to keep my fears down. And I'm like, at 18 years old, you're living in fear and you're having to take tablets. That's not good. Now I'm told, and you may have heard this before, but the Word of God, I'm told that in the Word of God, it is said that it says, fear not, 365 times. It tells us not to be afraid. One for each day of the year. Hallelujah. Praise God. Fear not. Fear not. One of the things I want to ask you, which family are you in?
What's family?
Are you in the not family? Or are you in the fear family? I'm a not. I'm not going to be afraid. Hallelujah. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to be anxious. I am not afraid. Amen? We need to be in the not family. I'm not afraid. Hallelujah. I'm just going to read some verses of Scripture to you from Matthew chapter 6. We're back into Matthew chapter 6. We seem to be unable to escape Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. We'll start with verse 24. The Word of God says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, he says, he will hold to one and he will despise the other. You and I cannot serve God, and the word there is mammon. Some people say that's money. Well, another terminology for that would be things. Because with your money, you buy things, don't you? Young guys, when we get our first motorbike or first car, oh, we're always polishing it, always washing it. You know, that's the thing, and it's like a form of worship to it. Girls, it's handbags. Never mind putting your head down, Rebecca. It's handbags. She must have 30-odd handbags. Ladies, can you understand this? What would you do with 30-some handbags? I mean, ask a man, what would you do with 30 handbags? We don't know, do we? We're clueless to know what you would do with 30 handbags. Do you know what you'd do with 30 handbags? You're not sure neither. Our daughter Rebecca, she knows what to do with 30 handbags. So if you want to know what to do with them, go and ask her, okay, after the service. She knows what to do with 30 handbags. Being in fashion. But then again, I suppose, like for instance myself, I wear ties. I've got a wardrobe full of ties. People buy you ties, you know, here's a tie, and I've got a wardrobe full of ties, I suppose. So not as expensive as handbags, let me tell you. Praise God. So what are we worshipping?
Ties.
Not ties. Yeah, Dharma's worshipping. He's worshipping his ties, selling ties and what have you. The thing is, we to look at and say, are we serving God or are we serving something else? Are we serving our job? Are we serving our house? Are we serving our family? Are we serving things? When the first thing and the most important thing in life is Jesus. When you have him right in the center, right in the center of all things, then things begin to go well. Things begin to go well for us in our lives. But it's all about keeping Jesus right in the center of all things. It's good to do your studies. It's good maybe to prepare if you are doing for university. That's great. But never move Jesus to the side.
Amen.
Never put Jesus on the side. Keep him right in the center of your life. It is so important. Verse 25 says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more important than food, and body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow, and they toil not, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon, in all his glory, did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into a furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Be not anxious then, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first, that famous verse, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And we've modified that. Seek ye first the King of the kingdom and his righteousness. We're looking for a king who has a kingdom. We're not looking for a kingdom. We need to find the King. Because when we find the King, he has all the answers. He has the power. He has the authority to change the situation. He has the authority to change circumstances. And that authority rests with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. And the Bible goes on to say, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. Each day carries enough problems for you today. And if you've not had a problem today, well, rejoice and praise God even more. Amen? Because God is good to us. And when we give him all our problems, when we give him all our cares, when we give him all our difficulties, he takes them off us. And we just lay back on Jesus. And just let him carry us and let us just go with the flow. We've had some problems, we've had some difficulties getting into this building. Many things we've had to do and problems to get over. But each time, you know, we pray and we put these things in the hands of the Lord. Because we have a great, big, wonderful God. Amen?
Amen.
Did you used to worry? Okay. Bill used to worry. So did I. And I know many of you I've said in the past, when I was a teenager, when I was like the age of your two girls, I was a timid, shy, frightened person in one sense. If somebody said to me, come up here and recite a poem or say something, my knees would start doing this, you know. Butterflies, you know, as big as elephants would be in my stomach, and you know, and then I'd feel like I need to be. Oh. Do you remember though? Oh, terrified. And here I am now, stood before you, looking at your faces. My knees are not knocking together. Glory to Jesus, because he gives us strength, because he is our peace.
Yes.
And I, as I've drawn closer to him, I worry less.
Amen.
Did you know that?
Yes.
As I draw closer to him, and as I keep him in the center of my life, I worry less.
Amen.
Or I've had my challenges to worry. Something will always come along and say, you need to worry about me. Always comes along. You can have a bad lecturer and she's giving you bad results, and it may look like you're going to fail your exams. And if you start to worry, then you need to take that worry and you need to take it to Jesus and give it to Jesus and start talking and communicating with Jesus. When you go to school, you've started school now, haven't you? keep Jesus right in the center of your life. And I believe and know from my experience, because I went to school, you know, a long time ago, but they sent me to school. Some of it worked, not all of it, you know. Some went in this ear and came out of this ear. You know, boy.
I can relate to that.
Oh, you can. I was just going to say, just. I thought you were going to say, I can just imagine that. No.
Related to myself.
And it happens with boys. It goes in this ear and out that ear sometimes, doesn't it, guys? You know, you're not saying anything, are you? You know. I can see it in your face, though. And so we have to listen to what God is saying to us and let God begin to lead us and direct us. Now, you see, for instance, worry, anxiety, stress, sickness. Worry comes, is a symptom of fear. Worry is a symptom of fear. Okay, do you understand that? You okay with that? Stress is a symptom of fear. Why are you stressed? When you start looking at it, oh, I'm worrying about my family. I'm worrying about my job. I'm worrying about some circumstance. And it begins to stress your body. Anxiety starts with fear. These are symptoms that come from fear. Fear is a killer.
It is.
Yeah. Fear kills. Yeah. Why do you think God said to his people, fear not. Don't be afraid. He said it because he knows if you start to let fear come and join you and get alongside you, it will begin to take over your thinking. Yeah? And that's not good. Because it will destroy each and every one of us. I know from personal experiences. As a young man, college and university, the stress and the pressure of the workload and of exams, and having to hit those high scores, the demands placed upon you, and if you're not just quite making the grades, then fear begins to strike, and you get anxious, and you start to worry, and then the next thing, you're either not sleeping, you're not eating properly, you're not able to study easily, and then the next thing these days, what happens? People go to the doctors and get some drugs. It's the first step on the ladder to some form of addiction. And it just started with four letters. Fear. Fear. And that's why the Word of God says, fear not. Do you remember, and we do this every year, we read those scriptures, when the angels came to the shepherds who were keeping the sheep on the hillside at night time. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and the first words the angel said to the shepherd was,
fear not.
Fear not. Don't be afraid. Amen. Well, you'd be afraid if suddenly a bright shining light appeared in this large expansive angelic beings were stood there in front of you. You'd be, oh. And the first thing they said was, fear not. Peace. Hallelujah. Peace. See, God brings a message. You see, God is love. God loves you. He's not trying to. He is love. And he loves you. One thing, you know, people say, well, God loves the sinner. Wow. He does. He loves the sinner. He hates their sin, but he loves the sinner. Praise God. Because if he didn't love the sinner, you and I would not be here today. Yeah? Isn't that true? Because you've done things, and God would have said, get rid of him. Get rid. I've done things, he just said, send him with him as well. Get rid of him. Because you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But we're on the road to perfection. Every one of us, as we walk with Jesus, we're walking closer and closer to him. And we're on that road of perfection. Amen? Do you agree? Have a look at the person next to you and tell them, you're on the road to perfection. You are on the road to perfection. Amen? You can say it in Nepalese if you want for me, but say it. You are on the road to perfection. Amen? In fact, what you can do now is tell somebody, I'm on the road to perfection.
I'm on the road to perfection.
You are. I'm on the road to perfection. See, God has a plan for you. Do you believe God has a plan for you? Yeah? He has a plan. Isn't that great? You're not left. You're not left on the sea of life just to be blown anywhere by the wind and the tide. You know, you're not just wandering around anywhere. God says, I have a plan. I've got a purpose for you. And all you have to do is take hold of the hand of God. And he says, follow me. Follow me. Follow me, he says. Follow me and make disciples. And you see, so God begins to take us on a journey. And he begins to lead us into different areas. He begins to show us different things that we've never seen before. And all this happens as we go on this journey with God. And some folks say, well, where are you going? I'm just walking with Jesus. Because I want to know what he wants to show me. I want to know what he wants to reveal to me. And the only way I can find out is if I keep my hands in the hand of God and I walk with Jesus. Is that not true? I keep telling you, keep your hands with Jesus. Keep walking with Jesus. And he will direct you. He will lead you to a place of peace and rest and joy in the Holy Ghost. Thank you for accompanying me. Glory to God. Wherever Jesus goes, we should go. Amen. And all the time he's saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He said to Peter, who was in the boat, do you remember that time? When Jesus said to them, come. Come. We're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. And so they get in a boat. And they're in a boat. And everything's calm and everything's fine. And Jesus decides he's going to have a rest. He's had a busy day. He's had a hard week, really. Helping them clean the church, get everything ready, cut the grass. And so he's exhausted. And so he's resting his head on one of the disciples. And the boat's rocking. And we're going backwards and forwards. And all of a sudden, water is splashing over the boat. And one of the disciples shouts and says, wake him up! Wake him up! We're going to sink. And the storm's raging. And what does Jesus do? He wakes up. He looks around the boat. And he says to them, "Ye have little faith." "Peace, be still." And the wind ceases. And the waves begin to drop. Do you know why? Because Jesus said, "Come, we're going to the other side." And when Jesus says it, he means it to happen. When God says something, he means it to happen. Right? He's not just speaking words, he's speaking the future. He's declaring the future into being. Amen. Praise God. That's the God, you see, we serve. Glory to Jesus. See, God never wants you and I to be afraid. God never created you to be afraid. You were created to live in peace and in harmony, in rest with the presence of God. Isn't that wonderful? We haven't got every verse of scripture that I need today, but I've got loads of scriptures where I'll end up going all over the place, so you'll just have to forgive me. I'm just going to go with the Holy Spirit and just follow the Lord, really. If you and I stress and worry, and do you know what happens? We get sick. And then we have to go see the doctor, don't we? Have to take time off work. Who enjoys being ill? Who enjoys being sick? Anybody?
No.
No, I don't see any volunteers. So why do we worry? Do you know something? What worry shows God is you and I don't trust him enough. Did you catch that? Did you understand that? You and I don't trust God enough. Then we start to worry. Oh, what's going to happen to my children? Mums are the worst. Mums are the worst. You know? Oh, the children, the children, the children. Has she ever said that to you? Yeah? Always. What about the children this and the children that? Constantly thinking about the children. Yeah? Nothing wrong in one sense, but in the end, your children, you give them back to God. And say, "God, these are your children. Dilip, they belong to Jesus. Not you. They belong to Jesus." And what you've got to do is go, in your mind, is go, "Here you are, God. Come on, give me your hand. Give me your hand." You go like this, "Here you are, God, come on." "This is what I'm going to do, Lord, with these kids, because I can't sort them out. I can't fix them. I'm just going to place them in your hands, Lord, and you can sort them. And then you get on and live life. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen." And leave them with Jesus. You know, hallelujah, just go for it. And if they're fussing, let them find God. Let them find the presence of God. You're there to help them and to encourage them. Thank you, girls. God has made us to rejoice, to be glad, to give him praise, to enjoy life. Hallelujah. But if we let them, they'll steal your joy. They'll steal your peace. They'll cause you to worry. They'll cause you to fret. and then you start losing all your hair. She laughed, not me. Okay. And then if you're not careful, it begins to make you sick in your body because you're so worried about them. Give them to Jesus. Pray for them. Thank God. Thank God that His hand is upon them.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Speak the word of life into them.
Yes.
Speak the word of life into your children. Declare it over them.
Yes.
When they're asleep, this is how you do it. Aaron, pretend to be asleep. Come over here. Come on. I love this. I like volunteers. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. There you go. That's your bed. Lay down. Hallelujah. Lay down. Lay down. Glory to God. There he is. He's asleep in his bed. Amen. Hallelujah. He's at rest. He thinks you don't know what's going on in his life, but guess what? God does. And so what you do is you say, Lord, whilst he's asleep, you say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray over my son. Lord, that you will protect him. You will guard him. You will guide him. And Lord, you will cause anything that is attacking his mind to be gone in the name of Jesus. And Lord, that any spirit of rebellion that has sought to come on him, I bind it and I break it from him in Jesus' name. And I command the enemy to loose him and let him go in Jesus' name. He doesn't even know you've prayed it. He's fast asleep, but that does not mean it. That does not matter. Because you're dealing with things in this realm of the spirit. You're not dealing with his mind. You're dealing with the things of the spirit, which is more powerful. Hallelujah. You can go on. Thank you ever so much. Bless the Lord. So many volunteers today. Hallelujah. That was a good prayer over him anyway, so that'll work. Hallelujah. Praise God. May it stick. May it take. Glory to Jesus. May it be fulfilled. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. He says, Jesus said, for lo, I am with you always. He's not leaving. Jesus is not leaving. You know, today we live in a society where the father leaves the home and leaves the children with the mother, or the mother leaves the home and leaves the children with the father. And so we have families who have been split up. Families who are being destroyed. And yet Jesus is saying, I will never leave you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always. Always. That's a long time. That's a long time. And praise God, he's with us always. Hallelujah. You know, in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, I think you may have that scripture. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. And it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I'm thy shield and thy exceeding reward. Fear not. It's on the wall. Fear not, he says. I'm your shield. I'm your strength.
Amen.
He's never going to leave us. He's our reward. Genesis chapter 50 No, sorry, Deuteronomy, verse 3. Sorry, chapter 3 and verse 22. Deuteronomy, chapter 3 and verse 22 says, "Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord shall fight for you, Joshua."
Amen.
Don't fear them, because God is going to do the fighting for you. Have you found that verse of Scripture? Do you want me to... Deuteronomy, chapter 3, and verse 22. Okay? If I'm going to fast, wave at me. Okay? Everything good? Praise God. Hallelujah. God will fight for you. God will fight for you. I remember a situation that I was in many years ago, some 40 years ago, when I was working in industry as a manager. And something happened in the factory, and I was called into the office the next week, and somebody's head was going to be on the chopping block. Somebody was going to lose their job. And I prayed over the weekend, and I was at church on the Sunday morning, and the Lord gave me a word and said, "Fear not, for I have gone before you. And fear not what you need to say, because I have already said it for you." So I went to work, and I waited for the phone call to say, "Come down to the office." Time kept going on and on and on and on, and began to wonder if the phone call was going to ever come. And so it builds the stress. Anxiety begins to try and attack. And it's biting at your heels like a little dog. But it's trying to get a hold of you. And I said, "No, I'm believing God." And I arrived near lunchtime into this director's office. And he began to accuse me. And he was pointing the finger. And he was shouting at me. But in the office was another director. He shouldn't have been there. He was supposed to be on holiday. This director knew I was a truthful man. He knew what I stood for. And he knew what I said I meant, and he knew what I did. I did right for him. And I was about to answer this man who was accusing me and shouting at me, and he was banging on a glass table. I was waiting for it to smash. He was so angry. And he was taking it out on me. And I was about to answer him. And this other man, this other director, said, "No, that's not true. That's not correct." And he began to defend me. After 30 minutes, I left the room, and I hadn't said one word. But God had used somebody else to vindicate me. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve. When we stay close to Him, when we stay connected with Him, nobody can get in between. The devil can't get in there. It's only God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, my Lord and Savior. He said, "I'll never leave you, Andrew. I'll never forsake you." And so we stay close to Him constantly. I was thinking today as I was preparing this word and just pondering on it during the hours last night and the early hours this morning, and I was thinking about how long ago was it? My mind was wondering about certain things. I began to realize it's something like 1982, 1983. I was working in industry. So how many years is that? Is that 32 years? 32 years ago. I was very young when I was working in industry, by the way, you know. Not very old now, so I must have been really young when I was working in industry. Yeah.
Just like school?
Yeah, probably, yeah, yeah. <clears throat> 32 years ago, I was earning £15,000 a year plus a company car. I was doing okay. My wife was earning, she had a job, Grace. And so all in all, we had £20,000 a year coming into the house. We bought a new bungalow and had a big mortgage. And everything was going fine. We kept Jesus right in the center of everything. We were youth leaders in the church. We were very active in the church and we kept Jesus right in the center of it. He was always first. It's dangerous to do that, you know, because one day Jesus said to me, he said, come on, your time's up. Uh-oh, it's time to leave. It's time to quit your job, he said. It's time now to give me 100% full time. Whoa. That meant that we were going to lose 75% of our earnings. That's a lot of money. We were going to lose £15,000 plus the car. That's a lot of money today. I don't want to earn that today. Thanks. 32 years ago, God said, come on, it's time. And I just simply, literally, took my jacket off, my work clothes, jacket, and said, okay, here I am. Is that true, isn't it, Ellen? Ellen was a witness to that. I forgot that she was there. That night, that Sunday night, I wrote my resignation out to the company. I said, I'm leaving. I'm going to work for God. When I got my resignation, they looked at it and said, oh, so you've got another job, have you? I said, no. Well, it says here that you're going to work for God. I said, yeah, but I said, I'm working for God, but there's no pay, there's no job. I'm just going to walk in faith. I'm going to trust Him today. My boss said to me, I think you need to think about it again. Here, take it back. I said, no way. Mm-mm. I said, that's it. I'm finished. And I walked out of there. 32 years ago.
My turn now.
We don't look bad on it, do we?
We've been blessed.
We have really been blessed by God. He's never, ever let us down.
No, never will.
Do you know why? Because Jesus has been between us.
Yeah.
Jesus has been in the center.
Amen.
And so we've always kept Jesus there. Mm-hmm. And as we've kept Him there, we've trusted Him day by day.
Yeah.
And you can only trust Him day by day. I have breath for today.
Amen.
What does tomorrow bring? I don't know, really. When I wake in the morning, I shall know. And I shall be walking in His presence every day. And so God has kept us every day. God's changed circumstances and situations. God has made things happen that shouldn't have happened. Why? He's a God of miracles. He's a God that changes circumstances. He's a God that changes situations. And it's all because we walk hand in hand with God saying, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. You know, the devil said to me when I gave my job up, now what are you going to do? You're going to have to sell your house. You're going to have to move out. You're going to have to go to a small place. What are you going to do? I said, I'm going to talk to God first. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, I gave you the house. You stay there. Okay. I said, who's going to pay the bills? He said, I'll pay the bills. And I've sat down and I've taken pen and paper and calculator. And every time it was in the red. It was negative. I should have a debt as tall as this building. God never, ever missed a mortgage payment. Do you know why? Because we were walking hand in hand with Him. Keeping Him right in the center of everything. Even when you go to university, you keep Jesus in the center. Even when you go and get a job, you keep Jesus in the center. That's what it's about. Life cannot exist without Jesus being in the center. Peace only comes from the Prince of Peace, and that's Jesus. It's keeping Him in the center of our lives. Glory to God. I'm going to just share. Time is going. How long have we been going? Glory to God. I share a couple of scriptures with you. Turn to Job in the Old Testament. Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3. Wave at me when you found Job. Oh, it's on this. Oh, did I do well? Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at that. Job chapter 3, verse 25. And this is Job speaking. And Job saying, for the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Do you know what he was afraid of? He was afraid that his children might have sinned. He was afraid that would have done something wrong. He was afraid that if he didn't keep sacrificing to God, God would punish him. He was living in a fear mode. And yet God had said, when you read the beginning of Job, God says to Satan, look at my servant Job. He's a wonderful man, righteous, upright. And the enemy says, yeah, he is. But that's because you've put a hedge of protection around him. And I can't get in. I've tried every angle. I've tried every way. And there's this hedge of protection and I can't get in there. And the devil says, take it away. I'll show you what he'll be like. God said, he's a mighty man. He's a righteous man. And God said, I'm going to remove that hedge of protection. I'm going to let you do what you want to do to him. But you cannot take his life. Just remember, as believers, our life belongs to God. Our life, your life, belongs to God. Does not belong to the government. Does not belong to anybody else other than God. God said, you can do what you want, but you can't touch his life. You cannot take his life. His life is mine, God said. And you know the story. It only lasted 18 months at the most. When you've done reading Job, you think it's lasted forever. But it was only at the most 18 months. And he came out the other side. And you know, people always say, oh, remember Job. Oh, remember Job. All the awful things that happened to him. Read the end of the book. He was blessed with a double portion of children. He was blessed with a double portion of finance. Everything was given to him, back to him, and double. Hallelujah. Read the end of the book. Amen. God blessed him and gave him health. He gave him children. He gave him flocks. And everything else, God gave it back to him. Read the end of the book. Yeah. Have a look at Job. See how he stood in the presence of God. See how God blessed him. See how God cared for him in the end. He blessed him with an abundance. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve. That's the Jesus that lives and breathes for each and every one of us. You know, in Genesis chapter 9, and I'm going to finish with this today. Genesis chapter 9. Genesis 9. You remember the flood? You remember Noah? You remember Noah and the flood? Yeah? You remember him?
Yeah.
Good. Well, after the flood, Have you ever thought how it is that all the animals came into the ark? Have you ever tried to get a tiger and go up to it and sit by the side of it and, you know, stroke the tiger? Huh? Oh man! Whoa! You, if I said to you, come on, let's go and stroke this tiger, what would you say? Huh? No, you're not going to come? Chicken. What about you? Would you come with me and stroke a tiger? Huh? No? Yes? No. What about you? Would you come and stroke a tiger with me? Huh? I have got no volunteers to go and stroke a tiger. What about you, Esther? Would you come and stroke a tiger with me? Yeah? Praise God. Hallelujah. I've got one. Yeah. Hallelujah. Do you know that's something I would love to do? Cuddle up to a big tiger. Oh, hallelujah. You know, Adam could do that. Adam named all the animals. God brought them to Adam and said, what do you think to this one? Tiger, lion, leopard. And he gave them all these names. That's what the Bible says. And they spent time with them. They were looking after creation. There was no fear. When did fear between man and the animals begin to happen? It happened in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 2. Chapter 9 of Genesis, verse 2. And this is when it happened. And this is after the flood. And the ark settles on Ararat. And finally, there comes a day when the door is open and the animals are freed. And Noah offers sacrifices unto God. And it says in verse 2, and it says, I'll read from, and God blessed Noah and his sons, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you, man, and the terror of you, man, shall be upon every beast of the earth and on every bird of the sky, with everything that creeps on the ground, and all fish of the sea into your hand are given. So basically what the word God is saying to Noah, from now on you won't be able to go and stroke the tiger. Because suddenly the animals have had fear of you and me placed in them. Up to that point, there was no fear. Do you know something? There is coming a day. There is coming a glorious day. When the Bible says, the lion and the lamb shall lie down together. Can you imagine today putting a lamb with a lion? Hey? That would be lunch. You know, a bit fluffy like, but you know, that will be lunch. But there's coming a day when you and I will be able to sit down with the lamb, the lion, the tiger, all of creation, because the God of peace has arrived and has declared peace over all his creation. Amen. Peace over all his creation. And we shall be able to dwell in peace and harmony in the presence of God. No more worry. No more stress. No more anxiety. No more fear. No more death. Because Jesus has come to deliver us and set us free from all of that. No more worry. Amen. We no longer worry. I don't worry anymore like I used to do. I might occasionally you just have these little moments when you just lose it. And you have to just grab hold of God and get back and get in the Word and say, I need to focus on God. When I was told that this building, we could use it and we could have it, I was numb. And then during the next few days, the devil said to me, it's not going to happen, you know. It's not going to happen. And you have to then think, okay, God gave me a promise. God is faithful. And then the devil would say, this is not it. But God said to me, he gave me a promise. And I'm trusting him. And believe in him, because God is not a man that he lies. He doesn't tell lies. He always tells the truth. God is truth. God is truth. Amen? That's what the Bible says. God is truth, so God can't lie to us. And I just thank God that he takes fear away. He takes anxiety and stress and worry, because these are killers. They'll push you to drugs. Won't they? I don't know what pushed you onto drugs. Might have been boredom. Might have been worry. Anxiety. When you look at the Word of God, the Word has come to set us free. And the Bible says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. You know, it says we can run. Hallelujah. It says we can jump. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. We can dance. Hallelujah. Bet some of you will wonder, what have we come to? Who is this guy? He's crazy. Yeah, I am. I've been crazy a long time. I'm crazy about Jesus. I'm crazy about Jesus. Yeah. I'm addicted to Jesus. I tell these drug addicts and these alcoholics, I've got an addiction. You know, I get the shakes when I've not been in the presence of Jesus. I'm addicted to Jesus. I need my fix of Jesus. Hallelujah. And if I don't get my fix, I'm in a mess. Glory to God. I need my Jesus fix. Hallelujah. I get the biggest high. And you never get a low. You're just in His presence all the time. Yeah, I've got an addiction. I'm addicted to Jesus. Who's with me? Eh? Who wants to shoot up with Jesus? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Eh? Oh, hallelujah. And do you know something? This addiction does not bring death. It brings life. Hallelujah. It brings life.
Amen.
Being addicted to Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. And when you're addicted to Jesus, there's no fear.
No.
There's no anxiety. There's no stress.
No.
It's just resting in His presence. The devil wants to get you out of that. Just remember that. No fear, no stress. You're addicted to Jesus.
Yes.
We haven't got time to be stressed.
No.
You know, there's a quote that somebody said, I am too blessed to be stressed. Amen. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I haven't got time for stress. I've got too many things going. You know? Not going to be stressed. Because it brings sickness. Brings disease. But the blessing of God brings joy and peace and life in the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Who's blessed?
Me.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, you're a worry not. I'm not going to worry. Right? I'm not going to worry. I'm not a worrier anymore. Amen. I'm not a worrier anymore. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you.